It's Tuesday. It's 10 a.m. Mountain Time, and it's time, of course, for Tom and Shane. Thanks for joining us today, and we're happy to have you along with us. Hey, don't forget to subscribe. You know, there's three things on the screen, Shane. We've got subscribe. If you click on subscribe, nothing will happen to you. The chances of you walking on the moon, the chances of you winning the lottery won't change at all. You won't get any notifications of any kind for subscribing. Nothing will happen to you. You'll just be here. And we've had several new subscribers lately. We'd like to welcome all you guys. Now, if you do want something to happen, we're here every Tuesday and Thursday by the Gregorian calendar. Now, if you click that notification bell, it doesn't matter where you are. You don't have to worry about the time difference between Eastern, or if you're in Borneo or somewhere. Click the notification bell. You'll be notified anytime we have a podcast. And if you like us, well, let us know. Click the like button and leave a comment, because YouTube will push us up in the search if you do that kind of thing. So we would appreciate it very much if you do that. If you like support us monetarily, and why wouldn't you? I mean, come on. There are some costs involved in putting this on, so we would appreciate some help with that, and we would like for you to do that. There's a description in the YouTube below to do that. Go over and see the benefits you get for doing that, and we'll be happy to do that for you. Also, we do these on StreamYard, and if you'd like to do... podcast like this, well, there's a free link in the description below, and get after it. Today we're going to talk about oil, Shane. Petroleum, oil. Why? I gotta ask, why are gas prices so high?
Well, as we've been discussing, and the world, I think, for the most part, understands, we live in a form of economic called capitalism, and it's predicated on supply and demand. And with the COVID shutdown, which included the oil industry, I mean, the whole industry was shut down.
Uh-huh.
So basically, you know, it's pretty impressive how quickly it came back in the last 9 to 12 months, really less than a year. But even during that time, when you look at what the price of oil was, $1.68, I believe, when Biden took office, I mean, it's almost at $10. I mean, that's like a 1,000% increase.
Yeah, it is.
So the regrettable thing is they haven't been able to keep up with the demand, and hence the price has gone up.
Yeah. Well, if you remember, Shane, oil prices were negative at one point in several parts of the world. I don't think we ever got to a negative here, but and China, they're the world's largest consumer of energy. They've got restrictions and lockdowns over there that are affecting their oil usage. And, the thing with Ukraine, and also you've got Russia and the European Union. We've got an oil ban in the European Union kind of slow Russia down, or try to do that or whatever with them. So, yeah, there's a lot of issues that are affecting oil prices all over the place.
That's right. And the phenomenal thing is that it's the largest, you know, currency in the world, or commodity, mm-hmm. however you mm-hmm. want to call it, yeah. as far as our integrated global system of trade mm-hmm. and transportation. But oil's been used for 4,000 years. I mean, it was used back in Babylon. Mm-hmm. You know, they used it in Babylon as a pitch to build buildings, or mm-hmm. and it was at the surface. They found it on the surface along riverbanks, on the Euphrates. The Chinese, for over 2,000 years, have been using it. They were the first people to make use of it and break it down. The Persians, as a matter of fact, were the first ones to distill it and turn it into different usages, including for medication and lotions. And it wasn't until the 18th and 19th century that a big change occurred in the development of it and turning it into course, what we're dealing with today, which is gasoline. And that primarily came about in the 1800s. And there's different octane ratings for gasoline, or we call them, you know, blends. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's about 16 different ones. The blends are anywhere from an octane rating of 85 up to 102. And then, of course, you have the different types of seasonal blends as well. So, it's become a very sophisticated industry. It's a universal. It was used in the early 1800s for the diesel that was developed. And, of course, the paraffin, you know, that's one of the main things you get from distilling oil. Mm-hmm. And then it did a great deal to replace the oil that whalers were getting from, you know, for the use for lighting. So, but once gas came along, which happened in the late 1800s, that changed everything, mm-hmm. because that allowed 24-hour, light that was maintained. You know, up till then you had to refill gas lamps, and they'd only last, you know, several hours. So everything changed when man could basically be up 24 hours a day. That's the big key, and to change things in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for sure. Well, we got three blends: heavy, light, and medium. Somewhere in between. So we got the tar sands stuff with the heavy stuff we get from Saudi Arabia, and some of the tar sands out of Canada, and the light oil we get from the Bakken and places like that. And there's other places, obviously.
Yes, that's from Texas. Yeah. A lot of light oil in Texas.
Yeah,
and that's too. Why the pricing of it is set in West Texas, Dallas, and then in London for Brent, which is oil sold in Europe. Mm-hmm. And of course, we know the Brent values always had anywhere from 5 to 10% higher price because Russia's the biggest provider, and so they tap it. And the West Texan, the interesting aspect of all this is OPEC doesn't have its own price. Mm-hmm. You would think they wanted to change everything in the world or have an impact. They would have set a price. The other thing is that those of us that remember, oil or gasoline over $5, this is the first time it occurred since 1973-74.
Yeah,
with the OPEC oil embargo against Jimmy Carter. So
yeah, back in the days, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bruce says Noah used it to seal the ark. Read Genesis. All right.
That's what he used, Carter.
There we go. Yeah, it's got it there. So let's see. Some other things we've got to talk about here, Shane. And let me pull up my notes here so we can talk about it. The big thing, I guess, that is being proposed at the moment is ethanol. Gasoline, many of it contains 10% ethanol because the Clean Air Act, way back when, required Americans to use
All right, you got almost. Keep going.
In order to burn cleaner in a combustion engine. Now they want to raise that to 15% in ethanol. And that, of course, ethanol comes from corn. And everything in your grocery store shelf is going to cost more if this happens. Because everything from corn flakes to flour to bread to, whatever, has corn in it, corn oil, corn, cooking oil, everything. So
that's right. And it's a natural sweetener. So the 70s and 80s, all of a sudden corn and the farmers not getting a lot for their corn, trying to come up with other uses to expand its consumption. And of course the Germans, they were big back in the 30s, trying to figure out how to develop oil and gas from coal. And then they discovered the use of corn as a of distilling it, because you can create, as you said, corn oil and then distill that oil down. So all these things have had an impact. The interesting aspect of it now, of course, is it's so incredible, because all these people that are on the green side of saving the planet, you know, they're attacking the use of corn and want it, and on the basis that, you know, people are going to starve. Well, I'm sorry, there's more than enough corn for what you know, made for diesel as there is to feed the world. This is not an issue as to how much we have. It's an issue of how to get it there. Well, once you get it there, it doesn't get stolen and then resold by, you know, thieving leaders or political parties in any certain country.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. Let's see. We're too dependent on oil, Craig says. Use it for stuff that can be powered with other fuels. And, you know, as I've said over a million times, alternative fuels will come, but they're going to come in their own good time. So, you know, until then, oil is a finite resource. No, it isn't. It's not a finite resource.
Well, we don't know that yet. Geology has not confirmed that yet. It's a theory, you know, as to where it came from. We think we know what it is and where it came from, but it could be a naturally occurring, you know, thing in the planet. They're not certain. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just making.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds like you're disagreeing.
And you know, to say we're dependent on it. Well, we're dependent on water. We're dependent on air.
Yeah.
You know, we're dependent on land and not, you know, not living in the ocean.
Yeah.
So, I mean, man's dependent on a lot of things, but probably the one single biggest impact in man and his development in the last 300 years for sure, you know, is oil. I mean, it's been, you know, it's been found and discovered in quantities since the third millennium, 300 AD. So, it's not something we should ignore. I mean, it's here, it's naturally here, and it's abundant. Mm-hmm. It's just carbon and hydrogen. So, it's not like it's a, you know, it's not something that it shouldn't be here, you know.
Well, I'll tell you, if the consensus is that the oil that we have now is from decaying dinosaurs and whatever, millions of years ago.
That's correct, but you know, it's also as a result of coal, and coal is a natural mineral, and it exists naturally. And coal is a mineral that exists in large quantities at all kinds of levels of the upper planet, layer. And so we don't know if all coal was created by the decay of dinosaurs. So again, it could very well be, but it's a science and it's based on theory, and some theories have been proven and others have not yet.
Yeah. Well, my theory is.
Well, your theory, if you have a doctorate geology.
I have doctorates all over the place. I mean,
well, yeah, they're hanging everywhere on your wall.
I print them daily with my printer. Now,
you can see mine, over my right shoulder. They're hanging them on the wall right there.
I see that. Yeah, I see that. Well, my theory is, if dinosaurs, in fact, were the source of oil, decaying organisms. Okay, that hasn't stopped with the dinosaurs. Animals have died for millenniums, millions and millions and millions of years.
As we've talked.
So that oil is constantly being regenerated by the death of animals today. That oil will be available millions of years from now.
That's right. And we've gone through the fact that the planet's gone through five, extinction events. And the reason oil is at different depths below the surface is because of the plates and the plate. It's not like the plates are moving like miles a year. I mean, they're moving centimeters to feet a year. Mm-hmm. And that's why some of it is buried down 20,000 feet and some is down 500 feet.
Yeah. And, you know, just as when we weren't able to do hydraulic fracturing, before that, we were limited in the amount of oil that we could find. Then hydraulic fracturing came along. We could find more oil. Now, in the future, we're going to find other ways of getting more oil. And that oil is going to be constantly replenished because animals that died millions of years ago were taken out of the ground now. Animals that are dying today will take out of the ground millions of years from now. So, It's not a finite resource.
In the 5th century, 460, the Chinese were drilling for oil with bamboo sticks.
Yeah.
Because the consumption of it that they had, you know, required better efforts to find and recover it. So it basically became a natural demand of our civilization in 1850 1900, sorry.
Something well, like that, yeah.
1850 till today. That's only 170 years. That's not bad, you know.
No, we can do that. So
that's a blink in the time of 4 billion years on the planet. Yeah.
Well, also, too, you know, there's offshore drilling and all of that. There's going to be a time when we're going to be able to get oil out of the Marianas Trench if you want to go that far. So
that's right. Yeah. And the remarkable thing is that in our lifetime, yours and mine, the oil industry has gone from having around 128, you know, the turn of the 19th century of oil refineries to well over 700 on a global basis. So this isn't like a cakewalk. And, you know, the reason that oil today is trading at 123 Brent, you know, for the Russians, mm-hmm. 122 for West Texas, is because of the value to our entire society and the requirement we have. So it's a phenomenal thing to read about. It's not complicated. Mm-hmm. There haven't been that many really new developments in it. And of course, until they did horizontal drilling, they started 30, 40 years ago. But the Howard Hughes company was the one that, you know, created the tri drill, meaning it's a when they spin the pipe to drill before there was no drill bit on it. His father came up with a drill bit that you screwed on the bottom of the pipe, and it had three different rotors on it that would spin as the pipe spins. So because the pipe spins, it would spin the rotors, and that would cut cut a hole, but a wider hole. They would pump liquids down the shaft to the inside through the pipe, and that would come down and wash and, you know, create a liquid, and it would be pushed back to the surface on the outside of the pipe to the surface again. So that's how they were able to know what type of rock they were cutting through, and so they'd know what kind of drill bit to put down, you know, whether it's just a soft bit for sand or a diamond bit for granite, you know, because, you know, up until the Howard Hughes bit, you couldn't, if you hit granite,
you're out of luck.
SOL, and you drilled that well for nothing. So, developments of ideas and concepts have not been that radical. So we're basically playing with old technology that, you know, just been modernized with, you know, new equipment, new types of drilling. And of course, like you talked offshore, these platforms are massive. They're anywhere from 200 million to initially build to well over a billion. And some of them stand on the ocean floor and to surface in several hundred feet of water. Like there are drilling decks that are like as tall as buildings anywhere in the world. And then there's some that float. Where they've anchored it with massive cables and weights, and then they're like in 300 feet of water to keep it stable.
Sure.
And then they run pipe from that down, you know, to anywhere from 5 to 20,000 feet deep of water in water. So the first, you know, a triple derrick, meaning, you know, it's like 270 feet high. So that's 390 foot pipe put together that you'd pull out, undo, stack, you know, or likewise, bring it over, turn it on, drill down. So, you know, when you take it out, you know, you think about it, you take it out to 270 feet of pipe at a time, and you're down 20,000 feet before you get into the hole.
Yeah.
And then you can go down five,
yeah, I know.
Another 5, 10, or 20,000. I mean, so particularly when you think about this, it's like 40,000. So they're drilling mm-hmm. in offshore platforms to a greater depth.
8 or 9 miles.
And to the height of you know, the
Mount Everest.
Mount Everest.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. What technology, mm-hmm. yeah.
Well, and two, and you know, we found a minuscule amount of oil to what's available, all things being considered, I guess. You know, I mean, we know there's plenty of oil in certain places, but we don't have the technology to get it yet.
That's right. All yeah. oil comes to the surface by what they call a ground hole pressure. Mm-hmm. So the deeper it is, the greater amount of pressure from the rock and the right. above yeah. it. The shallower it is, less pressure. So as a result of that, we've only recovered 15% of all the oil we've ever discovered. I mean, yeah. every oil preserve, every oil reserve, every mm-hmm. patch of oil, small or large, 15 to 20%. So 80% of the oil that man has discovered in the last...
Still in the ground.
Still in the ground. Yeah. And, if, you know, mm-hmm. Elon yeah. Musk, you know, could go to Ohio and Pennsylvania, which oil is down there, you know, less than 500 feet. And yeah. He could just tunnel through it, you know, start building a tunnel between two cities in Pennsylvania or Ohio. Yeah. And the oil that he would reap from it would make him a billionaire again.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, more oil seeps through the ocean floor than all the oil tanker spills of all time.
That's right.
You know, every day.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. So yeah, there's plenty of this available, and as I say, it replenishes itself every single day. You know,
well,
so.
And that's why it's important to talk about it, because environmentalists talk about
it is,
the
yeah.
You know, they talk about the yeah. damage it does. Mm-hmm. Well, excuse me, if the Persians found it on the Euphrates, the oil that they discovered was flowing into the Euphrates. So you know, this is not yeah. new.
Yeah.
So no. the planet naturally absorbs it, breaks it mm-hmm. down itself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And again, these are the things yeah. that are so important for these talks you and I have, because mm-hmm. people need to understand the geological science, the methodology of recovery, and the sciences involved in that, and the incredible engineering mm-hmm. that it has gone into this. It's one of these things that you look at and you go, my goodness gracious, how remarkable, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, everybody wants electric cars. If you want to save the planet, don't get an electric car. Get a hybrid. You know, uses gas and electricity.
You know, horizontal drilling. Here's a perfect example. Horizontal drilling came about 40 years ago, mm-hmm. and it was used to go down into existing pools, the 80%. So anywhere from, you know, 500 to a few thousand feet. And that was simple because they would drill into formations that were principally sand, mm-hmm. because there's a quotient in the oil industry is, you know, how much sand can move through what the suspension it's in. Because mm-hmm. It's not like there's pools of oil down there. They're yeah. suspended in different rock formations.
Mm-hmm. And that's what the hydraulic fracturing does.
That's right.
Gets it out of the sandstone or whatever it's
sand
in.
Sand or gravel, they figure, yeah. well, we'll go down. And so they horizontally mm-hmm. drilled, and then what they did is they dropped down a line of explosives that looked mm-hmm. like eggs, okay? And these would they would drop them down because they would horizontally drill at a small angle so they could slide these down, and then they would set them all off and perforate the pipe, so there were holes in the pipe, and the ground hole pressure would then push the oil into the mm-hmm. pipe, and they could pump it out and bring yeah. it to the surface. So it's you know, 50-year-old technology. Now, fracking, the reason it's different is because they went down into structures they knew oil was in, but it was more solid.
Yeah,
so they would do the same thing, go down 5, 10, 20,000 feet. They would go horizontal for 4 miles, and they would, you know, set these explosions off and perforate, and it would do two things. It would put a hole in the pipe, and it would frack the formation around it, you know, that had oil in it. so that they could recover more oil. So that's a quick lesson on that aspect and the science of it. But it's an old technology. They've have advanced and enhanced.
Yeah. Well, the other thing Biden is talking about releasing stuff from the reserve, the petroleum reserve. Venezuela's got the largest oil reserve, 289 billion barrels. We got 33 billion, and Biden's releasing a few million barrels. But so far, it hasn't had any effect, Shane, on anything, gas prices or anything else there. At least in 10 states, they've gone over $5, and six is not far behind. And some places in California, we saw, over the weekend, as much as $8, and some pumps are being refitted to, have $10, oil or $10 gas.
Well, this is the, one of those concerns of a conspiracy theory that's not too hard to believe that the Obama and Biden administrations, which are now going on, 12 years, they are basically responsible for shutting down two of the largest oil producers and gas producers in the world, Ukraine and Venezuela. Venezuela has the largest known oil reserves in the world. Mm-hmm. In the world.
Yeah.
I mean, it's run by a socialist government. No one will buy from them because of that. But more importantly, the whole oil industry has collapsed because they've destroyed the economy. Mm-hmm. The Ukrainians have been at war for 8 years. It's difficult to produce food and oil and gas, or explore for it while you're being shot at. Yeah. So, you wonder, what would the price of oil be if Ukraine and Venezuela were part of the production of oil and natural gas? Mm-hmm. I would say it would be back around $2.
I would think so too.
So it's to the advantage of Putin to have a war in the Ukraine, because that just that creates more value to his oil, and to pay our money probably to Venezuela for the political class and their military not to produce oil. He gets the win on their end, and maybe the socialists in Venezuela look at it, well, when everyone else is out of oil, we'll have ours. It'll be ours. It'll be our turn then.
so to speak. So, it is a world commodity, and as we said at one point, if we want to go back to the, '70s, when you and I were on the air back when oil was 140, we predicted back then it was going to come down. By 6 months later, it was down to 32 per barrel. And just for edification, I guess, we get 19 gallons of gas out of a 42-gallon barrel of oil. It's not a 55-gallon drum. I assume that's some kind of matrix crap, that it's 42 gallons instead of 55 or whatever. So, but maybe it's a shipping thing. It fits in a shipping container better at 42 gallons than it does at 55. I don't know.
They only ship it by cargo in barrels. But we got to pat ourselves on the back. In January, we said that by June, oil would be, well over
100.
And towards 125. And by the end of, the summer, September, it'll be 150. So hold on, because...
It's going to get worse before it gets better.
That's right. Right now, oil at these prices, and gasoline rather, is cheap. Mm. It's getting expensive, all right?
Yeah.
It's going to get expensive.
Yeah.
And that's why I really believe that how could anyone vote for the existing party in the United States that's running the government? If a Democrat, African-American, Mexican, I don't care who you are, white liberal. I don't know what percentage of people are going to vote for this continuation, because it's going to only get worse for everyone.
Well, as you say, we're going into summer blends now that are more expensive to produce than the winter blends are. Adding the 15 or the extra ethanol is going to affect some food prices, but it's not going to bring down the cost of gasoline. Until a lot of things have to change, Shane, before oil is going to start dropping.
At 100%, that doesn't mean double digits doesn't take it to $15 or $20 a gallon. It could become an absolute desperate situation on the part of the government in your country, and their refusal to turn, go back, open the Keystone, allow all the drilling anywhere, anytime, and the price of oil would drop 50%.
There's a lot of things. Well, the other thing too, whenever this happens, people keep topping off their tanks. So theoretically, you are storing gasoline for the oil companies in your tank. You should let your tank run out. And it used to be $50 to fill your tank. Now it's $150 to fill your tank. I've noticed traffic is a lot less in Bozeman, Montana, where I am. I don't know about you, Shane, in Kamloops, Canada. You've been at high gas prices forever in Canada. Of course, you're by the liter. It's so expensive. You don't even sell it by the gallon, or is there a gallon in metric? I don't know.
No, there's not a gallon.
Yeah. So you got to sell by the liter.
Four liters to a gallon, like four quarts.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. How much is a liter now in Canada?
$2.10.
Okay, so times four, you're at $8 a gallon.
Yeah, but converted to American now.
Well, that's true. Yeah. So it'd be a little less because money's worth
30%.
Your money's worth your money's worth more in Canada than ours is.
No, it's worth less to the U.S. dollar, so you have to add 30% more on
it. Oh, you're right. Okay. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
So $8, eight times three.
Yeah.
You're at $11 to $12 a gallon.
Yeah. Wow. So.
U.S.
Sounds good.
No, it's not. And the reason why is, it's squeezing the middle class.
Yeah.
It's squeezing the people that are working. They're paying like 10% of their income now just for gas, which they have to get food and the basic things in life, food and work.
Yeah.
And so it's a hard reality. But here's, you add this on. Most families manage their lifestyle by living on 85 to 90% of what they make, and the 10% left over, they put 5% maybe in the bank, which they should, of course, and 5% is expendable income. That's where they get to go out and buy what they want to, not what they need, and that includes they want to go out for dinner, they want to go to a movie, they want to buy a new pair of running shoes, want to fix the tire on their bike. Well, guess what? The wanna can't go. Because now they're spending 10% more just on gasoline. So, boom. What happens? Yeah. The consumer drops. That's what happened last Friday. Mm-hmm. The consumer is stopped spending. That's going to slow the entire economy down. And again, another marker, which clearly told you and I in November and December, recession now. And they all keep saying, oh, it's coming in a year. These people, they're a year behind.
Look around.
Yeah, they're worse than the government. They keep saying, Biden has, the Democrats, and they have no idea about the common person. And then you listen to these people, and it's like, you're in a recession. Oh, it's coming. Johnny Diamond, head of one of the largest banks in the world, Morgan Stanley, did not say a hurricane is offshore because there isn't one.
Yeah,
he's not a meteorologist, all right. But the best analogy he could use for Americans, because hurricane season's coming, but it's early with this economy. Then his head of equity investment this week on CNBC said, "Oh no, everything's okay. We're not." And he said, "But your boss says the hurricane's coming." Oh well, but it's going to be it's huge. It's bad, and as I said. Stocks are at a discount. They're going to get cheaper, and everything else that you buy right now is expensive, and now it's going to become unaffordable. And that's going to happen. Things are not going to be affordable.
Yeah, the markets are down 6,000 points from their high, so that's where we are. Now, yeah. Biden is on his way to Saudi Arabia here before long, and he's asked the U.S. oil producers to ramp up drilling, but oil producers have faced constraints, including securing materials, can't find enough workers. Oil companies are under pressure from shareholders not to chase high oil prices too much because they have a history of this boom and bust thing, you know, and that's curtailing investment in oil companies as well. So, you know, we're damned if we do, damned if we don't.
Well, let's just use one example of what COVID did. So when 2020 came along and they shut everything down, that includes, you know, the 4 million kids at universities and colleges around the country. Well, where'd they go? Well, they all went home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So all that labor was lost in all those cities and all that revenue was lost. Then they went home and they couldn't find any work. So now they become another mouth to feed, which adds cost. And here we are, you know, 2 years in, and then, you know, for some reason they slowly released the world from, you know, being, you know, in jail at home, whatever you mm-hmm. want to call it. And, none of this is happening fast. I mean, you know, some of the major universities, yeah, kids are getting back there, but a lot of places that they went for work are closed. So, you know, when we keep hearing that there's these, you know, there's 11 million mm-hmm. people unemployed, you know, that's 3%, so we're fully employed, that yeah. basically. Yeah. But, you know, the number of businesses, and there's like 2 million that are still not reopening. And, you know, the average small business has less than 50 people.
Yeah.
So even if you take 25 as an average, 2 million, that's 50 million jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so the numbers are there. You just have to look at them. But yeah. It's like you say, the unwillingness for your government to develop policy to expand these things and create a better environment mm-hmm. is preventing growth, and yeah. so everything's in mm-hmm. in the, well, the, you know, the shitter.
Yeah. Bruce wants to know, how low will the markets go, Shane? What do you think we're looking at? 25? We're looking at 20?
Oh, no, it's single digits.
You think so? Nine again, like it was in
or lower.
Really? Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we're going to nine like we did in wherever it was. I forget when that March of 2009, it got to, got to nine. Yeah. And then it was back to 12 by the end of the year. Yeah. But I don't see that happening this time around.
Not that
quickly.
No, it'll take time.
It won't double in 6 months back to.
No. It'll take a generation. Yeah. This time around, it'll take a 20 years. Yeah, wow. It's fascinating to realize that, you know, by September, I expect the market to be well below 30 or 20.
Yeah.
Into the, you know, teens. And I expect also that interest rates by the Fed will be closer to 10% than 5 or 7. Mm-hmm. And I have a solution to it, but, you know, they're not going to go for my solution because it's, you know, it's off the table. It's you know, it's out of the box. You know, it's the thinking that Bush came up with to save the economy during the election in 2008. And that was to go to the banks and, you know, force them to inject the money into the economy, which they didn't do. They injected it into the market and created a 20-year bull market. But, hey, you know, everyone seemed to be happy with it. So
Well, I don't know. Seemed to be, I guess. So. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Well, I think we've covered oil pretty extensively here, Shane. The last thing I need to mention is that when Ford introduced the Model T, it got 25 miles to the gallon. So it was not too bad. Of course, it only went, I think it had a top speed of like 45. But
I was looking at prices today at the end of World War II, when the U.S. was the largest producer of oil and gas and of course, airplane fuel.
Yeah.
They had doubled their production by in 4 years. But it's still selling at 9 cents a gallon.
Yeah.
9 cents. That's what gasoline was at the end of World War II. Nine. Started out at four before the war, doubled.
Yeah. Oh, but that hurt everybody's wallet when you're only making $5 a week.
Yeah, well, that's true. It's all relative, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So, yeah, I think the lowest gas price I can ever remember in our little town, we had about five gas stations or maybe four, I think. And they had a gas war, and the lowest I think I ever saw was 16 cents. So,
yeah, I remember 12 and 14 in Denver.
Yeah.
Yeah, back in the 70s. Yeah.
Yep.
Before the Carter Initiative.
Yeah. Well, when I was in high school, I could take a girl to the drive-in. I could buy a half a tank of gas and feed her for less than $5. So
that's right. Yep. A burger in a drive-in was a buck. A cheeseburger was a buck and a quarter, right?
Yeah, there you go. All right.
French fries were 99 cents.
Yeah. All right, we need to remind you, the award-winning Tom and Shane. We're live on the radio every Saturday, 8 to 11 a.m. Mountain Time. Listen live at KMMSAM.com. Click listen now. You don't have to join anything. You don't have to leave any personal information, no email, no sign up, no nothing. All you do is click listen now and listen. And you can call us. You can text us. You can do whatever you want to do while you're listening to us. So we don't care what you do. Just don't hurt anyone.
And you can download it and keep it for later reference, because
you can do that we record all our shows, and they're also at KMMSAM.com. Click on Tom and Shane's podcast. And Tom and Shane are also on iHeartRadio. We're on iHeartRadio, Shane. I just signed us up for iHeartRadio, so we're over there.
That's nice.
So you can do a Tom and Shane search on iHeartRadio. If that's somewhere you go normally, then, hey, it'll be good for you. So try it out. So. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us. Hey, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. We picked up several subscribers, and subscribing won't hurt you at all. Click on the subscribe button either in the lower right-hand corner or down below the video. Ring the notification bell so you'll always be notified whatever time zone you're in. You'll be notified when we're on. And like us, leave a comment. Let us know what you'd like to see on the show. What would you like for us to talk about or cover or explore? We're happy to do that for you. So if there's any topics you have, we'll be happy to deal with them for you. So, all right, that's going to wrap it up for us. We'll see you on Thursday, 10 a.m. Mountain Time.